I'll tell you the message this morning, dirty feet. How many of you here have dirty feet? You have dirty feet? We all have dirty feet. Several months ago, I asked if the leadership team, if they would allow me to start preaching here on a little bit more on a regular basis. And I said, I'd like to learn to practice to try to go through a book. So I started last time in 1 John, as you know, and I struggled with that. And I said, well, I'm not going to, went on to the second chapter, and I'm like, Lord, there's just nothing here. I'm not getting it. It's all about commands. It's all about this. It's all about that. It's not about, I just don't feel it. And you know, Kendrick's comment that I made to him this morning about being desperate, this is a real rough week for me. And you get to the end of your rope, and you're still holding on, you're not desperate enough. God wants desperate people. God wants you to be desperate for Him, to let go of the rope and let Him guide your life. You know, last week was Easter, and I had to come off Easter, so I began to think, well, maybe I'll preach on what the next week was like for the disciples after. So no, that's not what God said down there. I said, okay, Lord, I'll go back to 1 John chapter 2. And there was a passage of Scripture that stuck out to me. And I'd like to read that for you. But you know, before I read that, when Jesus, the night before He was to go to the cross, He uttered some words that are very much real for you and me today, probably more so today than any time else in history. And I say that because the same words that applied to the disciples back then apply to us to this day in much more greater sense. Our world doesn't love each other. You don't see people loving in other people a lot. There's so much hate, there's so much bitterness, there's so much hurt. You know, these disciples walked with Jesus for 3 years, and they saw Him love people. Saw Him heal the lame, feed 5,000. He saw Him raise Lazarus from the dead just 6 days before. 7 days, maybe. He understood. Jesus took a whole level, whole meaning to a new level of what it means to really love people. And that's what the whole sermon is about this morning, is about loving people. That's why I entitled it Dirty Feet. I don't think, as we go to John 13 in a little bit, I don't think we understand what Jesus really did when He washed His disciples' feet. And hopefully, God will open our eyes. Let's pray. Father, I just raise my hands over this congregation this morning. Father, in the name of Your Son, Jesus, I rebuke Satan and anything that he has. God, You're moving in my life this morning. And Lord, if there are demons in this church, I ask that You would remove them in the name of Your Son, Jesus. I pray the blood of Jesus over this church today. And all churches that are around the world worshiping You right now. Will You open our eyes and reveal to us Your truth. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can turn with me to your Bibles, to 1 John chapter 2, verse 7 through 11. And Jesus says this, Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word, which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. He who says in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. And he who loves his brother abides in the light. I'll stop right there for a moment. The word brother is not just us as brothers and sisters in Christ. It refers to family member, someone who lives in your country, maybe a co-worker. It can even mean another Christian. is very wide in its meaning when it talks about brother. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. We're going to watch a 3-minute video. And I want you to think, or just ask yourself a question as you watch this. Do you believe? Do you believe that you can make a difference? Let's see what Jesus did. Turn with me to John chapter 13. This is why I believe that there's much more to dirty feet than what I really... You know, that old commandment that we talked about, you know, before the foundation of the world, Jesus and God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit were all there before the beginning of time. And in Ephesians 1:4, we are told this, that even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault before His eyes. So why do we have dirty feet? Dirty feet. Turn, as you got your Bibles, or it might be up on the screen behind me. John chapter 13, and now this is the feast of the Passover. When Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from the world and to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. Now the word love there means to love dearly, to hold to one's heart, to clench, to keep close to you. And supper being ended, and the devil had already having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God, He rose up from the supper, and laid aside His garments, and took a towel, and He girded Himself. And after that He poured water into the basin, and He began to wash His disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel which He was girded with. Now, I want to stop right there for a moment, and I want to show you something. Now, growing up as a boy, where I used to attend church, they used to do foot washing. How many of you have ever been in part of a foot washing service? Wow. What stands out to you about a foot washing service? It's awkward. It's humbling. Yes, a few years ago, it's actually been 2 years ago, it's the only time I ever remember doing a foot washing. I remember seeing the older generation at church wash their feet up front, women with women, men with men. But at the pastor's conference 2 years ago, they said, "We're going to do foot washing." And it was awkward. I was standing in the line, I'm like, "Oh my goodness," and I have athlete's foot. So if you know what athlete's foot is, and my feet stink every now and then, my wife's now embarrassed. Sorry, honey. And I stand in line, and I'm like, "Oh my goodness, Lord, what am I going to do?" And there was a man, older man, real short guy, standing behind me. And he was my foot washing partner. And I won't ever forget what he said. He said, "I don't normally do foot washing. And I want you to know something." He says, "My foot's deformed from polio. So you're not aware. So you wouldn't be shocked or scared when he took his shoes off." So we walked up there together, and I watched his feet, washing them. And I want to show you something. I went and got one of these from work because I don't have one at home. I don't have a towel big enough to go around me like Jesus did, but He took that little... Can just picture what Jesus did for His disciples a minute. It is humbling. It's awkward. But there's a deeper meaning behind this story. I believe God showed it to me the other night. I believe it. And it's for us as Christians that we're to wash people's dirty feet. That's why I asked, "Do you have dirty feet this morning?" Going a little bit further. So I can see Jesus, He comes down here, He pours the water in here, and He comes over to Thomas. And I wonder what was going through Jesus' mind as He went to Thomas and He sticks that down there. We don't mind me doing this, Pastor. And he takes Thomas's feet and he washes them, praying maybe for Thomas, because Thomas, just a few hours later, a few days later, was going to deny him, that he didn't have any faith that Jesus was who he was. So maybe he was praying, Father, would you give Thomas faith so that when he stands before someone else, he'll have faith to proclaim my name. And he washes his feet. And he goes to Judas, the man who's going to betray him. Someone who's going to betray him. And he comes to Judas and he says, Judas, I don't know how he approached Judas, because the Bible doesn't say this. Satan was already in Judas's heart. But he comes to Judas and he says, maybe something like this. Father, I thank you that you allowed this man to go forward to betray me so that the whole world may know what it really means to love people. He comes to Peter. And you got the story there. It's going to be up on the thing. He comes to Peter. Can you go on to the next verse? And he came to Simon Peter, and who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus gets down there and says, sure, Peter, I want to wash your feet. So he takes Peter's feet, puts him in the water, and he begins to wash Peter's feet, knowing that only a few hours from now, Peter is going to deny him three times. Peter's going to cut a man's ear off. What was he thinking about Peter? Was he washing Peter's feet, saying, Lord, forgive him for denying me? Father, teach him what it really means to love people. What was he doing? He went to disciple after disciple, washing their feet. And what was he saying? Bible doesn't tell us what was going through Jesus' mind. Bible doesn't tell us what he was actually saying. But Peter then begins to say what? And this is what we do so oftentimes, I think. Put it back up. You can go to the next verse. Jesus replied, you don't realize what I am now doing, but later you will understand. And you remember, Satan's in the room. Satan has entered into Judas's mind, into his heart. Satan is there. Satan is very real. He's here today. That's why we rebuke him. Just a little illustration of, we don't do this too much anymore, but I really think there's a much deeper meaning. And maybe this is something that we as a leadership team can talk about, possibly do once in a while here at church. It is very humbling. It is very awkward. But I don't really think that that's exactly what Jesus was referring to when he said washing others' feet. If you go on later on, after he gets done, Peter says to this, if you do not wash me, you have no part with me, Jesus says. And then Simon Peter turns around and says, wait a minute, Lord. Hold on. Don't just wash my feet, wash my hands, wash my head all the way down. I want to be clothed, washed all the way up and down. And Jesus just quickly said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you, referring to Judas. You know, Jesus wasn't saying that you have to wash your feet in order to be one of his sons or daughters. You need to be washed with the blood of Jesus Christ that covers and washes away all your sin and makes you whiter than snow. The principle of washing your feet is that same principle, same illustration. Jesus knew that one would betray him. Verse 11, for he knew who would betray him, and that's why he said, you are not all clean. So when he was all done, he had washed their feet, take his garments, got his garments back on, and I was going to remove my tie when I was doing this, because wasn't going to take off my clothes. And then he goes and sits down. And then he asks this question. Do you understand what I've done for you? So I imagine Jesus, here he comes and he sits down. He got all his disciples in the upper room. And he sits here. And do you know what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to also wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do this as I have done. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. And then verse 17, he says this, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now the word blessed there means supremely well off or like happiness. It's the same Greek word that is used when Jesus spoke to them on the Sermon on the Mount. And he said, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before me. It's the same Greek word when he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you and pure in heart, for you shall see God. That's what he was saying. Blessed are you if you do these things, to wash one another's feet. I wonder what Jesus was saying as he walked down that road after they beat him, spit in his face. We talked about that last Sunday a little bit when Jesus went to the cross and when he was raised from the dead. But I wonder what he was thinking. Was Jesus maybe thinking, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, teach my disciples to love one another, to love those around them. I don't know what is going through Jesus' mind. I can only speculate. I can only think. Verse 18, he says, I do not speak concerning all of you, and I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats the bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now, can you imagine his disciples? They just washed their feet. They don't even understand what's going on here. Okay, they understood the principle of washing the feet. Whenever you went to someone's house, the owner of the home would offer you a bowl of water to wash in your feet. And if he was a very wealthy man, he would have servants, and the servants would be instructed to come wash your feet. So yes, in essence, Jesus was humbling himself to a servant role. But it's deeper than that. He now says, I now tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. So he's throwing all this stuff out to his disciples. Most surely I say to you, he receives whomever I send receives me, and who receives me receives him who sent me. He's going through all this, and you imagine all the disciples. And the reason he sat back down here, and while he's sitting here, John, the writer of this book, has got his head over on his shoulder, on his chest. And Jesus is saying all this stuff. He asked them that question. Do you understand what I am telling you? But then I want you to see something in verse 21. And this is where I believe that when Satan is in the midst, God cannot move until he is removed. God cannot move if Satan is in the midst. So when Jesus had said all these things to his disciples, and they're puzzled, they don't understand what he's trying to get across to them, they still don't get it. Jesus became troubled in his spirit, and he says, most assuredly I say to one of you, one of you will betray me. So just imagine now, have you ever seen someone troubled in their spirit? This week I had an employee come to me at work, said there's something wrong with so-and-so. I said, oh, what's the matter? I don't know. There's something wrong with her. I said, okay, we'll go find her and let's see what we can talk. You know, you can sense it when people are troubled in their spirit. Husbands and wives, you know what I'm talking about? Children, you know when you're talking about when your mom and dad's upset at each other? You can sense when someone's troubled. The disciples looked at one another after he says that, and they were kind of perplexed. It said they kind of were wondering. And there was one leaning on Jesus' bosom, or his chest, the one whom Jesus loved, which is John. And Simon Peter, the one who just said, "Lord, just wash me all over. Cleanse me from top to bottom, whatever it takes. Please, Lord. I cannot be separated from you." He somehow motions. I don't know how he motioned. Did he? Or did he motion his hand to him, say, tap him on the shoulder? Whatever he did, he said, "Therefore motioned to him and asked to ask of whom he spoke." Then the one leaning, John, back on Jesus' breast, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus answered, "It is to whom I shall give a piece of bread after I've dipped it." And then he takes and dips a piece of bread. Again, bread, dipping and breaking of bread was a sign of fellowship, of unity amongst each other. That's why we take communion. That's one of the reasons why it's very serious when we take communion. Dip the bread, "I'm breaking bread with you." It was a symbol in their day. After he dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the one he just washed. And then after the piece of bread, it says Satan entered him. And Jesus said to him, "What you do quickly." But no one at the table understood this again. They still didn't get it. For some thought, because Judas had the money box or carried the purse, he was their treasurer, like carried the money around. That Jesus said to him, "Go out and buy things for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night. So now you understand we're moving into another phase. This is the second phase of this story. First part, Jesus lays down an example of washing dirty feet. He takes his dirty foot and he washes it. Second part of this is Jesus is very troubled in his spirit, because Satan is about to do something. Once again, Satan is trying to ruin what God started at the very beginning of the world. And now that Satan is gone, Jesus then is still sitting there. So after Judas is gone, Jesus says, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, and God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately." And then he says this, "Little children, I shall be with you a little longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you." And then he gives the what I believe is the most important words to us as Christians today. "A new commandment I give to you is that you love one another as I have loved you." That you also love one another. By all this will you know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another. You see, the world is not going to see anything but us loving one another. So I began to think back. 3 weeks ago, I watched as men in prison and guards came out to share their appreciation to my parents who loved them for 31 years. I watched a man this past a couple weeks ago show me a letter that someone had wrote to him 23 years ago. It was neatly folded in the same envelope. And the man said this, "You don't understand how much that meant to me." I watched last week. I stood over here in the back corner by that door, crying my eyes out, because I watched as this church loved people. I watched this week as a lady came to me and said, "Hey, someone's troubled in her spirit." Then I watched as a couple employees prayed for that lady I watched another employee go to a fellow coworker who had said something out of frustration and ask for forgiveness. You see, washing feet is not something that's just taking a bucket of water and washing someone's feet. You see, loving people who have dirty feet means getting involved in their life. It means washing their feet. Using it as a metaphor, analogy, it's loving one another as Jesus laid down the example of loving us. In Galatians 1, it says, Galatians 6, 2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I guess the challenge for us today the challenge for me that I got out of this is whose feet am I washing? Whose feet are we washing? You see, Jesus then went on. He didn't stop there. You know, Jesus is amazing. Simon then comes in verse 36. That you guys don't have that. I didn't list that there. He goes, Lord, where are you doing? And Jesus answered, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. And then Peter still can't figure it out. These men still don't get it. And that's when Jesus then tells Peter, you're going to deny me three times before this night is over. Jesus then begins to lay out in chapter 14 all the promises of the Holy Spirit coming to help us love one another. He gets into chapter 15 and he says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, and my words abide in you, and you and me, we are one with the Father. What commands was Jesus asking his disciples? He just gave them before he said that is to love one another. That's the words that Jesus was saying. You love one another. Love one another. You're going to bear much fruit. And they're going to put up there on the thing there in just a minute. John 15. And this is where John 15:12-17 says this. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. For greater love is no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And he says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go out and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask in the Father, in my name, he may give you. These things I command unto you, love one another. You see, the whole purpose, I believe, to that foot washing ceremony that he did, or foot washing thing. Yes, he was following maybe the tradition of man at that time where he would go into a house and you wash the disciples' feet. We have story after story of that. We have Mary when she washed Jesus' feet with her tears and her hair. Jesus might have been following a tradition, but he was trying to show something to his disciples that's much deeper than just the symbol of washing another's feet. He was trying to tell his disciples, love one another. Wash someone's dirty feet. Do you all want fruit? I want fruit. I want so much fruit. Let me put it this way. I want so much fruit. Not so much that people around us would say, wow, what's going on there? But I want some fruit that will remain, like Jesus said. The fruit that I shall give you shall remain. I want my brothers and sisters walking strong together. I want people that don't know Jesus come to know Jesus. No greater fruit than that. But fruit will not come unless we wash someone's dirty feet. Dirty feet. Many of you may be sitting there right now saying, well, I've been washing someone's dirty feet for a long time. And it don't work. I don't see any fruit from that dirty feet. Let me tell you a story about a man. And I didn't know my dad was going to be here today, so sorry, Dad. Didn't mean to put you on the spot. 15 years. Saying hi, how are you doing? I'm going to remember two men in prison. One guy's name is Bill Bailey. Some of you who have lived in Delaware all your life might know his name. Bill Bailey was a hard man. He escaped from prison. When he escaped from prison, he went and killed some people. Got caught, put back in prison again. But I remember the day my dad called me. After 15 years. Saying, how you doing, Bill? Just saying hi. 6 months before Bill Bailey was to be hung, which we don't do that in Delaware anymore, my dad walked into his cell. And Bill Bailey's face was different. And my dad says, what happened to you, Bill? I met Jesus. And I remember the warden getting all the biggest men in prison, the guards, to line the walkway to the gallows. Because Bill Bailey was a fighter. Bill Bailey wasn't going to walk up to them gallows. Bill Bailey walked up to this gallows and paid for his crime. But only because Jesus had changed his life. Because somebody took time to wash his feet with a simple hi. Church, we want to see fruit? Wash somebody's feet. Because you don't know what it means. For eternity, to wash somebody's feet. Worship team, you can come on up. As they're coming, maybe you have tried to wash somebody's feet for so many years, and you think there's nothing out there. They're not listening. Maybe you're at odds with your wife or your family. Maybe you're just tired of washing people's feet. I wonder what Jesus was saying when he walked down the road to Golgotha, to Gethsemane. I wonder what he was saying about me. I believe he was saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Father, teach them to love like I have loved them. Teach him what it means to wash dirty feet. We always have an altar time. We always have time where you can come and pray. And if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus, I want you to know Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He died so that you can know what it means to have freedom from dirty feet. But if you already know Jesus and you're just struggling with how do I love people, the altar's open for that too. It's not an easy thing to love people. People get under your skin, they frustrate you. My kids know that. When I come home and I don't love them the way a dad should. Don't forget that. I know I won't. After listening to the songs this morning and knowing how God works, Nate didn't know what I was preaching on other than the sermon title. But if you looked at the words that were in those songs this morning and he talks about how much God loved us, he loved us to wash our dirty feet.